think about it.
What's that, John? Give me a hug, buddy. Everybody loves John.
Everybody loves Dan, too. The Christ in you is awesome.
Huh?
The Christ in you is awesome.
Yeah, it's his fault. Well, you got one of them little things, too.
Man, you guys got all these little contraptions up on the chairs. Amen. Wow, this room's got full here. Look at all these chairs are filled up. Wow. So we're going to have to pray. Pray the word's good and clear. Amen. No, it's good. Nice day today. I want to pray. I'm excited. I just got back from Mississippi. The gospel's getting clearer and clearer in my heart. It is. I'm just seeing more and more. I'm just seeing the power of God move. There was only two people in Mississippi that I'm aware of that I didn't see totally healed out of all the people we prayed for. It's 5 days. We prayed for a lot of people. Saw a man with 3 fusions in his back, a pastor. He had never bent over in his life because of a back degeneration or a congenital back thing. It was born messed up, so he could never bend. And then in 05, he had 3 fusions. So on top of that, he had 3 fusions. So you can imagine the condition of his back, right? And this is all naturally, medically speaking. So 6 vertebrae, am I right? If there's 3 fusions, 6 vertebrae are involved in that. Because they cement together 2 vertebrae at 3 places. So what's that going to do to your back? So this guy, we're there talking. I'm just being me. I'm just having fun. And we're talking. And I'm sharing about this guy in Pittsburgh because this lady just got touched. And I was saying about backs and things. And he said, well, that's me right there. I said, what do you mean? I've never touched my toes in my entire life. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no. I said, well, we'll pray. He said, well, 05, I had 3 fusions. I said, we're going to pray. See, we're serious.
Amen.
He's God. Yeah. Come on. We're not denying the 3 fusions. We're not saying, I understand all that. But if that's the only realm you're thinking in function, you're going to miss that he's God. I like to say it this way, and I say it in these meetings a lot. And there's a lot of visitors, so I'll say it again. And if you heard it before, just hear it again and believe it all the more. Paul said in Philippians 3, it's not tedious for me to write the same thing over and over again. For you, it's a safeguard. In Hebrews 2, he said, take earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest they slip away. So to repeat things and say things is actually good. I thank God I'm forgiven and righteous about every day of my life. It hasn't gotten old yet. In fact, I'm really starting to believe it. Actually, I'm going already. I've been believing it for years, but I believe it more. I feel the love of God right now. That's amazing. Man. See, a lot of people don't have this, an active expression life to God. They read the Bible or they pray in a time of need or they talk about God. But man, I talk to Him and let Him love me and talk to me through His Word. And I exchange with Him and express what He's done for me. And grace touches that and makes it very real. So I'm not biting my lip to be a Christian. I'm a child of God. He loves me tremendously. He really does. So, man, I got myself all silly now. We prayed for this guy one time. His wife's standing there. He's a pastor. In the name of Jesus, back, you respond to the gospel. I'll tell you what I didn't forget. There's something I was going to say to the visitors and people that heard it before. But we prayed for this guy. First time, he bends down, puts his fingers right on his toes without hesitation.
Wow.
It was so fun. 3 medical fusions. On top of a born thing in his back. Now he has the fusions in 05, so that on top of that stiffened him all the more. So the hope of bending over, he's not even thinking bend over. I'm thinking, Jesus, let's pray. God's created value. Here's what I was going to say. If God breathed into dirt and we really believe that. Now, a lot of people know it's Bible and they know it's in there, so we rhetorically say we believe it because it's in the Bible.
Right.
Okay, mourn you a little, not much, it's not heavy yet. But, see, we say a lot of things, but what do we really believe? See, do we really believe God breathed into dirt and a man jumped up?
Amen.
Yes.
Why not?
Most people say that and say they believe that, but think about that. If I really believe that God Almighty took dirt like this, with me in his heart and you in his heart, with man in his heart, and man was just a form of what he was to be. He molded him together with the dirt, but he had no life yet. He was just seen in the heart of God. And then God applied his breath to his desire and vision, and the man jumped up. Come on. Well, if we can just get that, come on. Then when the guy's got fusions and you really start believing that, you might look at him and smile and say, oh, okay, I understand, but he's God. Let's just pray. And boom, we'll start seeing more of this stuff happen, right? It's just fun. So this guy touches his toes, comes up. His wife goes, instantly, just tears. I never seen tears roll so quick. They're just rolling down her cheeks. He stands and goes, oh, and he's talking to the Lord. I said, listen, I know you feel reverent and thankful right now, but I want you to do that about 5 times for me in a row, and then I'll turn you over with God. He's all right with this. I need you to, I should go down. He, up, down, 5 times. The 5th time I had him hold it there. Amen. And ask him if there was any pain. He said, sir, I feel totally fine. I just love that stuff. I don't know about you. That gets me revved up. I do. I love that stuff. So, and there were so many things that happened in Mississippi. And I just know the message is clearer than ever before. The gospel's just crackling. It's alive. It's fresh. The Bible's not old and stale and thousands of years old. The Word's alive. It's eternal. It's as fresh today as it was yesterday. It's just as new. Isn't that a wild thought? See, God's not aging. He's eternally young. He's God. That's why I'm acting the way I am. He's in me. I'm like Yahoo. You know, He's just God. But I am. I'm having fun. We prayed for all these people. I mean, I watched people that didn't even really know the gospel. They were just at church and they believed it was right and that God is God. And they really didn't understand the gospel. I watched a lady that her life is in such chaos and so much confusion. And God gave me a word for her. It was really good after she was healed. She got healed first. She's going through a marital thing and she's already rushing to marry this fella. And all that confusion. And yet Jesus, in His mercy, breathed on her and healed her. Got the attention of her heart and then gave me the word of knowledge on her life. And then she went, gave me the stuff on her because He loves her. It was amazing how she responded. So it was all good. She had arthritis in her spine for 10 years. Not one day in 10 years pain-free. Couldn't sleep more than 2-3 hours at a time at night without getting up and hurting bad. Instantly healed. Not a trace of arthritis, not a trace of nothing. Slept 4 nights in a row, and the last night told me from the first night through, she's 100% normal, has no trace of nothing in her back. And I just love that stuff. A lady had crushed discs, 2 of them. Arthritis in every joint. Boom. Some of these people that got prayed for were being prayed for by people that never prayed for the sick in their life. Wow. Isn't that sweet? Amen. Never prayed for the sick. Let me tell you how cool God is. This fella comes up, he's hurting. Hi, bless y'all. He's really hurting, right? And he doesn't even know what he's got. He's just got throbbing pain in his hip and down his leg, and it's in his shoulder, down his arm. So he's here and here, he's hurt. And it's throbbing, and it's like that all the time, he said. He said they don't really know what to do, what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. He come up for prayer. An older gentleman, black fella, just precious heart. He come up, and I said, you need prayer? He said, yes, sir, I'm really hurting. I said, you know, I want to pray for you. I said, I'm going to turn the people loose on these people. I want to pray for you myself. I said, would you just stand right here? And he said, yes, sir. So he stood right there waiting, right? So all the other people came up. He's behind me. This is so cool. You know, we talk about, some of you know, we talk about spirits of infirmity, affliction, stuff that comes. It's not just physical. It's assignments. It's spiritual. It's, watch this. Watch how real this is. I'm sharing the gospel as clear as I see it. And I get these people up to pray. So I'm sharing on why we can believe and why they can be healed and why I believe it's the will of God for them to be healed. Now I'm giving them some simple instruction on how to pray. And that it has nothing to do with you and I, the emphasis of our voice, the scriptures we quote.
It's when you and I believe and see and understand about the finished work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He has already finished it. Yes. He's done it. Yep. So when we pray for the sick, when we pray for you tonight, all we're doing, honey, is praying based on what He's already done, His amazing love for you that is undeniable in my heart. He's just, He loves you. You're so worth the blood of Jesus to God. It's amazing. All of us. See, we think He just died because we sinned. That's what we're taught our whole life, that Jesus had to die because we sinned. Well, that's true. But if there wasn't something under that sin worth dying for, why would He die? Mm-hmm. Come on! Some of you have never been told that your whole life and you've been in church. Mm-hmm. Our lives are worth the blood of Jesus to God the Father. My original created value, according to God, is so valuable that He would send His own Son to die so I could live. Come on, if it was just about sin and nothing else, come on. So some of us pray this prayer, hope we make it to heaven, and try to stay faithful at church. Ah, don't ever do that. Come on. With Bill Billy, but do you go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Do you have, well, I haven't been there for a while. I need to get back. Ah, don't do that. It's knowing God. It's fellowship with God. It's walking with Him and knowing Him and knowing His love and knowing you're made clean and you're righteous and living for your created value, not just the way you always felt and thought who you were and everybody implied who you were. Man, you're worthy. Everybody in this room is worthy of the blood of Jesus to God the Father. Come on. Once that sin's removed, there's something of high value and price. It's called your life. I like that. Man. We're preaching that gospel like that down there. I'm telling you. People are getting touched to heal. Young folks. I saw two young people get born again.
Awesome.
Yeah, they got totally right. Teenagers. One I had to point out. I said, there's two of you here. Be courageous and stand to your feet. And the one teenager stood right up and just started trembling. And I hugged her and prayed with the other girl. Wouldn't stand up. She's leaning on her boyfriend. And I said, honey, you know I'm talking to you. Why don't you just get to your feet? And she bawled and bawled. And I usually don't do that, but I just couldn't help it. Turned out the young boy was big in rebellion. Walked out of the church, left the church. 17 years old, got himself in a mess. Wouldn't let nobody talk to him, tell him nothing. If you'd have heard the way I talked to that boy. His grandma said, nobody talks to him like that. I said, God can get away with it. He came up right in front of everybody. I pointed to him. I said, don't you do her wrong. I said, if you're in her life. And boom, boom, boom. I said, son, I see you've been in rebellion. Your heart's full of anger. And I said, you know what's right. And you've got roots in you that are gospel. And it's time to get back to truth. And I said, you've been messing up big. I didn't know he had felonies.
Wow. Ooh.
I didn't know that he was a mess.
That's years.
In the natural. And I'm just talking to him like that. And he burst into tears.
Thank you, Lord.
Grandma
thank
said, you, Lord. He don't cry. I said, everybody cries when Jesus comes. Yes. I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, if He wants you to cry, you're crying. I'm telling you. I've seen this old boy in a drug rehab standing. He's got the mean tattoos. You know, they ain't nice tattoos. They don't say mother. he just looks mean. He's big, you know. And God came and landed on him. And I said, you don't ever cry. You got a thing about crying and you don't ever cry. And right now you're trying to hold it back because you think it ain't right. But I say, ain't nothing you can do about it. We're too far gone now. It's over for you, friend. And he goes, aah! While God was healing his body. And I'm like, yay. Oh my gosh. So he's just healing all these people. And but I talked to him. I talked to him about his little girlfriend. And You wouldn't even believe how I talked to him. I can't go. I won't go into detail right now. Mean. But, huh?
You're not mean like that.
Oh, I'm smiling, but you wouldn't believe how sharp I talked to him. I felt love for that boy. He bawled and bawled. He had such a deceptive view of church because he was around a lot of religion. It was like he was just going to church, and they were going through the motions, and their focus was trying to have a service instead of knowing God. The Lord had me ask him a very strange question for me. And anybody that really knows me,
It wasn't a real easy question to ask, but I knew it was God, so I didn't fight it too much. But I asked this young boy, I said, have you ever, because he watched me preach and saw me pray for a couple of folks, and I had two words of knowledge that were just, and he, I said, have you ever met anyone like me? He said, never, sir. And there was a reason I asked him that. And I told him I'm a Christian, and what he sees in me is God and a confidence of the gospel. I said, ain't nothing religious about what you've encountered tonight. And I said, everything you see in me, you can be in more. Because there is no limit to how much of him you can have. So I wasn't bearing witness to myself and boasting on me. God was trying to change his perspective and get him out of deception because he was believing he didn't want church. Well, that ain't what we're after. We want God. Right? So, because we're the church. But the Lord did so much in Mississippi. Tomorrow morning I take off for West Virginia. I'm pumped. I mean, I'm just having the time of my life. I really am. I watched a lady get out of a wheelchair in the airport and walk all around in front of the gate, and there was a lot of people there, and they all heard the kingdom preached and saw her healed. And then 15 minutes later, she's standing over there doing exercises and calisthenics, preaching to the crowd, telling them I was in that chair and I was this and that, and this man came and prayed, and now, oh my gosh, look at this. And I'm like, go girl, I'm two gates down. Go girl, preach the gospel. Because when I'm there on my knees talking to her, everybody's acting like I ain't there. Probably half of them go to church. But because I'm in an airport, they feel weird. She needs love. She needs Jesus. She needs a Christian that knows God to talk to her and get their hands on her. Because I read in my Bible, these signs follow believers. Way to say, we touch mama and see what God does. She was 80 years old. Some folks say, well, she's 80, you know, you got to come down with something sooner or later. Ah! You show me in the Bible where you cross 65 and the blood no longer protects and the finished work of Christ is void. Nowhere. All this thought of degeneration and arthritis and old aging. Come on, get a grip on this stuff. There's a way that seems right to men and it leads to destruction. I don't say your body isn't running a course. I'm not saying you're not running your course. But I'm talking about sickness and disease just because you're older. If you believe that, it'll be obliged to just jump on you and take you out. Man, I had doctors tell me years ago that my knees were going to be riddled with arthritis at a young age, that all my fingers, because of some stuff I went through young, was going to have arthritis. I'm like, Jesus is Lord. Man, I don't have a pain in my body. I'm like, oh, God, I feel pretty wired. What?
I'm still waiting for the black guy standing behind you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so pumped, man. That's that infirmity thing. No, yeah, he's still back there hanging. Thanks. When I gave that example prayer to these people, how to pray, because it's not, what took me on that whole thing was because I said, it's not our work, it's his finished work. When I just gave them a simple example prayer without turning them into parrots, I just gave them an idea of what to pray, this guy makes noises behind me. I turned around, he's like, he's overwhelmed and he's checking his body and he felt the Spirit of God. I said, what's going on, sir? He said, when you were telling them how to pray, every pain came out of my body. He said, look, I couldn't even lift my arm. Look, we never prayed for him. It was a spirit of infirmity. It was an assignment that was on him. It was demonic. And it perceives the anointing. And here's truth. It sees that I'm turning in a moment to pray. And it says, let's just go. Serious. That's exactly what...
Just flee. Yeah.
Why are we trying to hang out and hide anymore? We're exposed. The light's here. Let's go. Pew. I never had to pray. I just preached truth. And truth made the man free behind me. I'm giving him an example prayer. Seemingly like a mock prayer. But it's truth. And this thing goes, gone. Guy's totally healed. That was the first night, and we were there 5 nights, and on the last night, he was as good as that first night, had all his mobility back, totally restored. Pastor's wife, degeneration in her bone and stuff, chiropractor trying to help her. He said he wasn't Christian. There's a reason I'm doing this. She said, well, I'm going to go to a service this week and believe God heals me. We have a guy come in and preach the gospel. He said, now, honey, you know, you have to realize it's not like a little fairy's going to touch your back and you're going to be all better.
And she said, well, I wasn't thinking a fairy was going to touch me. I'm thinking Jesus is going to touch me. But this guy said he's a Christian. There's a lot of... It's easy to say you're a Christian. So she comes to church. 7 chiropractor appointments in 3.5 days. 2 a day. She came, pulled into the church to take me and Dave to the house we were staying in. She couldn't even get out of the car because she's hurting so bad. She wanted to just sit and us to follow her. It was hard to go from the accelerator to the brake. She was in that much pain. And when he x-rayed her, he found all these issues and degeneration of bone and stuff. But he's still trying to help her. She's hurting bad. Her husband said, I've never seen my wife in that much pain. She's so bound up, she can hardly get around. So she's like this, and she's in the car. She don't want to move. He said, listen, she don't want to get out of the car. She's hurting so bad. She's just going to drive you there and point the way to you. Maybe tonight you guys can pray for her. And Dave said, well, we ain't waiting for tonight. I looked at Dave. I said, good boy. I said, get out of the car. She said, really? I said, get out of the car. Come on. We ain't driving like this. We're going to pray first. She gets out of the car. You know, like, get out of the car, hands in the hood. Out of the car, ma'am. Would you please step out of the car? She gets out of the car. It's a Holy Ghost drive-by, man. The pastor was so funny. He opened up the service. He said, today I just met Dan and his friend Dave all the way from Pennsylvania. He said, their feet were barely on the parking lot of this property this afternoon. My wife was barely parked on the property, and she was healed. They aren't waiting for tonight. The kingdom is here. That's how he opened the service. He said, they ain't waiting for the service. They are. We prayed for her the very first time we prayed. And she's overwhelmed, crying uncontrollably in the parking lot, doing everything that the chiropractor or the little fairy wouldn't have been able to do. Watch. She goes back to tell him he re-examined her. God recreated and restored the deteriorated bone. And he's confounded and doesn't even know what to say. And she preached the kingdom to him.
Thank you, Lord.
I could tell you so many. A girl with scoliosis and a short leg. Scoliosis straight. Her dad would carry her around because the doctor said her condition was so bad in her bones and body that one day she'd be in a wheelchair. So as a daddy, when she was little, he would just carry her to save her from walking, moving, bending. He just had that. He just tearing him up. Dad has hereditary stuff in his back. He feels like he gave it to her. Now she's hurting worse than him, but he's bad. Now she's older. She gets totally healed. Her countenance has changed. She has no pain. She's healed. Her husband's telling me this story, just crying. Her husband. She goes into her dad's house. Her dad takes one look at her, sees her countenance and her walking, and he just starts bawling. Watch what she does. Oh my gosh, watch what she does. Because this is why I'm on the planet. This is why I travel to Mississippi. Watch. She said, Daddy, I'm healed. He said, I know, I can. Oh, he's bawling. She said, but Daddy, the gospel is real. Jesus is Lord. You can be healed too. Prayed for him. He was instantly healed.
Yes.
The daddy. Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's multiplication. That's like...
Yes.
You
I'm having fun. Is every single person we ever prayed for being healed? Not right now, not on the spot, but I'm telling you, there's momentum cooking. We ain't backing down. We ain't backing off. Because it's possible, it's available, the price was paid, and we're growing in understanding and revelation. Amen? So we're just seeing stuff. Yeah. So it's been fun. The trip to Mississippi was fun. I was there the last time in January 7th to 11th or something like that. There was a lady with bone, brain, and lung cancer all at the same time. They took a look at her a week before Christmas and said, oh, honey, we're sorry. There is nothing we can do. There's no sense doing any kind of anything. It's just we can't do anything. And they're just unfortunately telling her it's over for her. They said, you have 4 to at the most 6 weeks to live. A week before Christmas, she got that report. I'm there on the 7th. So 2 full weeks or more have gone by, and she's feeling sick. She's thinking in her mind, according to doctors, she's got 1, 2, 3 weeks to live. We pray for her the first night. Feels a little better. Pray for her the second night. she feels a whole lot better. Pray for her the third night, she don't feel no symptoms, no nothing. Pray for her the fourth night just because. She said, look, I feel fine. I said, well, you're getting it anyway. Because I'm heading to Pennsylvania. We're praying. We prayed the fourth night. I'm just there this past week. She runs up to me smiling, traveled 2 hours to come to where we were. And she smiled and said, do you remember me? This is 9 weeks later, folks. I said, I sure do, girl. How you doing? She said, I feel no symptoms, no sickness, no pain. I've never gone back to the doctors, so they haven't run any new tests, but I don't even want to. They couldn't help me. They told me there was nothing they could do, and I was going to die. I went to Jesus. I'm just going to keep it that way. She said, I live every day of my life as a woman that has never had cancer or a diagnosis. She said, I'm doing well. I'm feeling great. I said, honey, you look great. Give me a hug. Just hug. Dorothy came. She was there the last time, riddled with breast cancer. Went back to the doctor. Not one trace of breast cancer in Dorothy. She shared her testimony. Come on, how cool is this stuff? It's just the gospel. See, what we do is, though, see, we can't get disheartened when we don't see a cancer disappear. We can't try to rewrite the book or ask questions beyond what it tells us. We need to keep growing in a revelation. Church, if there's one thing I'm saying from my heart and a heart cry tonight, we've got to keep moving forward and growing in a revelation of what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't back off of that. It's the okay. Father, we just ask for revelation tonight. We ask that every heart would receive and perceive the truth that makes men free. And Father, we just thank you for the gospel. I am so excited for the gospel. I'm so excited because I can look out here and see these people and know who they are because they're worth the blood of Jesus. Father, you created us in your image. You've paid the price to get us back out of sin and into your grace and into your kingdom. And we're asking your kingdom to come and manifest to our lives and through our lives. And go ahead and just expose darkness and rock the world with your love. We just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to see something quick. Hebrews 10. Sorry, I mean, I just jumped right in and started teaching and sharing. We didn't say nothing or anything, but just let me do this and then we'll see where we go. But there's a saving of the soul the Bible talks about, not your spirit. Your spirit gets born again. It's a well springing up into everlasting life. When Adam and Eve ate the tree, it was the day they surely died, but they didn't drop over dead. They died on the inside. They were separated from God. Who understands that? Spiritual. When you get born again, your spirit gets reborn. The spirit of life comes into you, and of Jesus Christ and life. It's the seal for that day of redemption. It's what makes you wheat, not a tear. It's what makes you a keeper fish and not a throwaway. This is what makes you a child of God and light instead of a child of disobedience and darkness. It's the light and the life on the inside through Jesus Christ. Your spirit gets reborn. Jesus did it. See, God, when He made Adam in the garden out of the dust, He breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living being. That was lost in Adam. Even though he was still alive, he was still dead from the inside, so to speak, spiritually. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the first thing He did was breathe upon His disciples. Why? His blood was shed. It was on the mercy seat. There was a forgiveness of sin. We were in a new covenant now. He had defeated the power of death, hell, and the grave. He had the keys. He had conquered death. And now He comes back to the earth. And the first thing He does is say, peace to you. Why? Peace between God and man. Sins removed. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What'd He do? He took them right back to that place in the garden, the picture of the garden, when God first breathed into man. So Jesus is the last Adam, the second breath of God to man, the redemption, restoration, and born-again experience of man, Jesus Christ. And once again, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life and glory can live inside of man. That's what happened when He rose from the dead. That's what happens when you get born again. Do you get it? So that's your spirit being saved, being born again. But the saving of the soul is the renewing of your mind. It's being ripped out. That your body is saved through healing. Your soul through renewing of your mind. Your spirit through death and darkness being removed and light and life coming. Okay? But this is the big problem right here. If you don't get it renewed. It's where Satan hits. So we want to talk about that. You had a comment?
Yeah.
Okay.
This generation knows about CPR. Salvation is spiritual CPR. We are raised from the dead.
Literally raised from the dead. Literally raised from the dead. The Bible says we even died in the likeness of the death of Jesus. He died to sin. He was made to be sin. We died with Him. When He died, we died.
Right. Yes.
2 Corinthians 5 says we judge this. If one died, all died. He died once for all. Right. So we all died a death to sin,
yes. Right.
To the judgment of sin, to the curse of sin. It says if we know we died, surely we'll rise in the newness of life and the likeness of His resurrection, mm-hmm. Romans 6. It's important to know this stuff. It's why you see me so flipped out. I'm really pumped. I am. You have no idea how pumped I am. I try to play it a little cool so I can relate. I'm serious. Because if I was just alone, I wouldn't care about relating. I'd just be related to Him. But I'm of sound mind for your sake tonight. All right? I'm playing it cool so that I can make sense. How's that for you? See, because my spirit man's reborn. As Dot said, I'll see you, Bob. I'm coming. I was dead, but now I live. That's a big deal if I believe it. And if I really receive it and understand it. But the big deal is this. I don't want to think. Look, if my spirit's not dead and it's alive, I can't keep thinking in the realm of death. I can't keep living in fear and worry and sorrow and self-centeredness. I can't keep living like a mere man. If the Spirit of God has come on the inside of me, He says, don't be conformed to what the world is and what you used to be. Be transformed.
Amen.
By the renewing of your mind. Transformed. 180. See, a lot of Christians embrace God and they incorporate God into their life and they go to God for blessing and answer to prayer, but they stay the same here. Soap opera mentality, talk show mentality, human wisdom mentality, and feed their soul with everything the world and everybody else is saying when Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He didn't say I'm a way. He said I'm the way. Now, not everybody believes that, so they feed their soul in a multiple choice mentality and got themselves confused. And a lot of people live like this. And it's not the Christian life. The Christian life is glory to glory. The day of the righteous grow brighter and brighter. I know Him today more than I knew Him yesterday. And revelation increases profusely. Joy is even greater.
Wow.
Yay. I'm not trying to calm down so I can make the journey. Don't expend too much energy in the beginning, brother. You'll run out of gas. That doctrine must have come from you nowhere. Straight from hell. Bob, you had a comment.
Yeah, when you were talking about death, I used to say all the time, I may die, but I won't stay dead.
Well, your body will die. It says your body's dead because of sin. So your body will die. You'll never die. You're never going to know death. He tasted death for everyone. There's a transition into the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
You're eternal. I say to people, I'm never going to die. People say, oh yeah, you are. I say, you missed what I said. You're never going to die. Man, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord.
Amen.
So you're never actually going to experience what Jesus did on the cross. Death.
Right.
That amazing. He tasted death for everyone in that sense. Because he well, when I say what Jesus did, because He paid the total price. I honestly believe He said, you wouldn't leave my soul in Hades. I honestly believe that 3 days, I just have some beliefs about that. I just believe that He paid a price for sin. I don't want to open a whole can of theology here right now. Okay. Watch this. Verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. It has great reward.
Wow.
For you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It's a big deal. See, if we don't understand our Christianity, listen, guys. We've died to ourselves. We've denied ourselves. We've picked up our cross and we're following Him. That's Christianity. It's not just about us. It's not about bringing God into our life to meet our needs, to heal our bodies, and to make sure things go better than before He was in our life. If that's the only reason you're a Christian, you're going to be highly disappointed and easily deceived. Because there's still adversity. Trials and troubles still come. The storm comes to the wise and the foolish. The difference between the two is one stands and one falls. But if your perspective is just me, myself, and I, and He's for me, you're going to be deceived. You're going to get disheartened. In adversity, will be the easy trigger for that. All Satan has to do is poke you a little. And you'll say, God, I thought you loved me. He does. He sent his son. God, well, where are you? Where you been? I'm right here, and Jesus is right at my right hand, and I've given you my word, and I believe my word. See, we get inward. We ask questions we should never ask. We have mentalities in the church that shouldn't be. Had a guy call me today for a year and a half. He's been trying to get healed. And he's calling every prayer chain and every ministry, and he's not even talking to God at all. He's just waiting for the big wham. The big abracadabra one day. And all this time, he's received the identity of what he's going through, and he's driven by fear and desperation instead of, Father, I so thank you that you love me. Yeah. Father, I just get a hold of my heart right now in faith, and I just look. If you didn't love me, you'd have never sent your son to die for me while I was yet a sinner. Now that this thing has come, I see and hold on to your love all the more. It can't take me out. You took Jesus out so I could be preserved and restored. And I just receive your love right now. I refuse to fear and swallow the bait of the enemy. I look to you. I love not my own life unto death, and I know you've preserved my life, and I'm going to live for the glory of the Lord. See, we get a wrong mentality. A lot of times it's just all about us. And if we don't see change, and I hear people so quick to sell out on God. Well, I thought he loved me. Well, where was God? Well, where? I'll tell you where he was. He was innocent, hanging on a cross, taking your sin in his body on a tree so that we, having died to sin, would live for righteousness. It doesn't say live to pray the prayer of a method to get your need met, that you might live for righteousness. If we're not careful, church, we turn this book into a way and means by which to receive what we need. This book opens us up and enters us into the most incredible love relationship you've ever known. And it's with the Creator of the universe. And he happens to live on the inside of us. I like it a whole lot. Christianity's not taught that way. It's taught, pray this prayer so you go to heaven. Try not to live as bad as you used to live. Try to live a little better. Make sure you go to church. Just deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. You get it? Okay. I want you to see this. Saving of the soul thing is very important. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So look at that. There's a line there. It says, under my Bible, done the will of God. That stood out to me. In other words, there's something to fulfill now that I'm a Christian. There's a purpose in my Christianity. There's a destiny to be fulfilled. I'm to do the will of God. And we can track the will of God down real easy in the Bible. But watch this. For yet a little while, he is coming and will not tarry. So he's saying, rest assured, he's coming. Now watch this. Now the just shall live by faith. So we've got to live by faith through God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith works through love. If you don't develop a love relationship, you're going to try to have faith when you're in need. You can't try to have faith. You're really high hoping that God shows up. Come on. Get real. I'm a plain and simple guy. How do you try to have faith? Faith works through love. You're not doing this. You're not praying a prayer that you found in the Bible and hoping it works. Faith is, it comes from knowing God and knowing the heart of God through seeing His Son and what He's done. And the message of God, I love you, through His Son, and growing in that message through prayer and expression and exchange with God. All of a sudden, faith just is. It works through love. It's knowing God. Faith comes out of your relationship with Him. Come on, it's a big deal. And all my life, I was just told, go to church because it's Sunday and you better go. And if you don't, you might go to hell. Ah! So I went to church. Whoa, I don't want to go there. So I went to church. And I thought, what am I doing here? I don't like it here. Because I was bored. I was in a denominational church that was really, it was very rhetorical. It was calculated. You knew exactly what was going to happen. And after about a year of that, I'm thinking, man, if I knew I wasn't going to hell, if I didn't go here, I wouldn't come here. But I thought if I didn't go here, I'd go to hell. So I went. So was I going? Who was I going for? Come on. I was going for me. I was just going to fill up. I was just going to. Yeah. And then my mom took me to a wild church. They danced and they.
Assembly.
They were wild.
Assembly.
No, there was no assembly. They were off the hook. It was Bob. It was crazy, man. And then I thought, I like this better than that other place. And then I kind of made friends there, and then I kind of fit in and had my crowd there that I fit in with, and then I had my crowd in the city where I was growing up. So I would put on this jacket and be in the city and fit in, and then I had other friends here, and it made me feel important because I had a big sphere of friends on two sides of the fence, but I just switched jackets. And I lived that way for years. Then I got married and thought, I got my little wife and our house and our cars, and I really don't need church anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm a man. I can make my decision. And I just told her, I'm not going no more. She cried. When we had kids, she took them herself for 8 years because I was done. So Jesus came and rocked me at work. And she was tired and done going to church. And now I'm saved and taking the kids to church. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You have need of endurance so that after you fulfill the will of God. So it's not just about receiving our needs. It's that we're fulfilling the will of God. I'm just going to nutshell this because I don't have much time, but I want to get to this right here. But I'm going to make this comment and nutshell this, and you'll grasp it. I've been saying it enough. Visitors will get it. I am not a Christian to go to heaven. I'm not. I'm not a Christian to go to church. I'm a Christian to become love, to be restored back to my original value and walk with the Father. I'm a Christian to know Him. Right? And Him to manifest Himself through. We've made the whole emphasis heaven, and we've missed the boat. So we go to church our whole life, have perfect attendance, and react in life like a man that doesn't even go to church. What have we accomplished? We're way deceived people.
Even worse.
Even worse. Or I go to church my whole life, and I get thrown into a circumstance, and I react just like the man that says there's no God. What has my church attendance helped me? Or effectively done for me? It's not about that. It's about loving not your own life unto death. When man fell in the garden, he became totally selfish and self-centered and served himself from that day. Jesus came, set the example of love, laying down yourself. Greater love hath no man than this. He give all that he is for another. So he showed us the total contrast of what we've become. Remember when I talked on Job the one night? Satan said to God, skin for skin, a man will give anything to save his own life. What he was saying to God was, every man loves himself more than you. And the only reason he gives you any attention is because of the things you do for him. That's what Satan was saying to God in arrogance. Every man. And in most cases, unfortunately, he's correct. Every man loves himself more than he loves you. And God said, not Job. It's powerful. Here's the key. We want to make sure that we don't love ourselves more than we love God, that we're not incorporating Him into our life. We've given Him all that we are because of who He is. What I'm telling you is a real big deal. That's why I'm a Christian. To surrender all and give all to become like Him, to manifest His love. To have something to give. So when I walk by that lady in the airport, I can ask Jesus. I said, Jesus, why is she in the chair? He said, crippling arthritis. I said, thank you. I slid over and I got down on my knees right on the carpet and asked her if she's in the chair because of crippling arthritis. She said, yes. I said, honey, there's a lot of reasons you could be in this chair. But I said, see my shirt? And she read it and I said, I love Jesus with all my heart and I love you too. And I said, He told me that's why you're in the chair. He's coming to heal you if we'll pray. Okay?
Amen.
We pray. It was fun because there was this many folks easy sitting at that airport gate. And they're all listening and acting like they're not. She got out of the chair on her own because she checked her neck and back and shoulders and went, "Ooh, oh my!" She was so funny. I slipped her hands real high. You said you just had to see her. I mean, there's nobody sitting there that couldn't know that it was for real. And then she unhooked the feet on the wheelchair, and I said, are you getting up? She said, you better believe it. I said, atta girl. She got up all by herself and started walking around. Very expressive. And then with everybody, I had my back to everybody. Because I was just, it was me, her, and Jesus. I was loving on her. I didn't want them to think I was preaching to them, projecting. It was just about her. I didn't want no intimidation. I wanted them to just be able to grab a hold, right? But I was very aware they're all sitting there, right? So I said, honey, is there any pain? Check your body. Do you have any? She said, you know, there's just a little bit. I mean, just a little in my hip. I said, put your hand there right now. That's when she said, you're a messenger of healing sent by God. I said, no. I'm a Christian, honey. I'm a Christian, and I just happen to believe God's word. I said, what we've done, and I had everybody behind me. What we've done, honey. We've built a whole lot of churches, and we go there on Sunday, and we've not learned how to love and be real and believe God and just let the kingdom come wherever we are. We've built a lot of churches, honey, and we haven't become love. I love you. You're being loved today. I'm just another Christian. And she's like, oh. And how many people behind me do you think went to church? They ain't even thinking, pray for somebody. Not because they're evil or bad or not saved. They're just not even thinking that. Because they've never been taught that. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
She's fine. Because I say to a lot of people, we were just in a service not long ago, and I said, how many believe it's the will of God to heal? And most people raised their hand. I said, now don't raise your hand quick, but it isn't a trap question, but kind of. I said, how many believe it's the will of God to heal? Almost everybody raised their hand. I said, then why aren't you laying hands on the sick all the time? Because for some reason you feel like he won't heal through you or whatever, but you still believe God heals and you're waiting for it to happen when you're the choice of God for it to happen.
You're the choice of God. You're the roster. You're the best he's got. And he's okay with that. You're on the team. Bob, you made the team. You ain't even on the bench, buddy. You're not even second string. Did you ever have that growing up in sports?
Yeah. Oh,
second
yeah.
string?
Second, yeah. Second, third, three.
You get there and there's like 10 people on the court and they pick two captains and they call for the teams and you're like the last two guys on the court. Everybody says, I'll take Fred. I'll take George. I'll take Billy. Now we're down to three guys. I'll take Jim. I'll take Stan. Well, I guess, Bob, you're on their team. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, I think
so. Well, that ain't how it is with the kingdom.
That,
your first choice.
Yeah, no, I love that.
You're the best he's got, Bob.
Yeah, I was always told that if you healed for healing, that it was a gift.
Yeah, we're always taught that.
I was always
who's been taught that if you move in healing, it's a gift in the sense of that you have a special gift? Who's been taught that in their life? Okay. Mark 16. These signs follow those that
believe.
Doesn't say those that have been gifted. So every time we fail to move in healing, lay hands on the sick, or minister healing, we're actually revealing we're struggling in what we believe about all that concerning us. Either we don't know, we've never been taught, or now that we've been taught, we're still struggling. Identity crisis, little insecurity, little self-consciousness. Just thinking it has something to do with us. When it has nothing to do with you except for believing the finished work of Him. Isn't that cool? Come on, that's a big deal. And if, yes, George.
I think the problem with most Christians today, God will speak to them and say, I would like you to pray for this person or that person. And they think that is them doing it. They're intimidated because they hear another voice.
Talk themselves out of it.
And they're, well, what will happen? Or what will this person think? Or what will the other people think if he doesn't get healed?
Right.
And they walk on.
Right.
For an example, Todd and I went to Fritztown Tuesday night together. And I didn't even know this happened. And I talked to you about it. 3 weeks ago, I wasn't feeling well because I'm still getting over this knee operation and a heart problem. And I was went to church, and I heard God speak to me. And he speaks pretty harsh to me because I'm kind of slow when it's coming to hearing. But he spoke to me, and he says, I want you to go to the gym today.
When you say harsh, you just mean loud and clear.
Loud and clear, yeah.
Not, George, you knucklehead, would you get up? Some people would hear harsh that way. You just mean he makes it clear that he's talking.
Very clear to me that what I'm doing.
He's talked to me that way a few times.
And I said, Lord, I don't ever go to the gym on Sundays. I'm never in there, and I don't feel good. He said, I want to go home and go to bed. So my wife and I and a couple other couples, we went out and had lunch together, and I wasn't eating a lot. And I said, well, I'm just going to, I'll fix God. I'll go home and go to bed. So it was 2:30 in the afternoon. I said to Nancy, I'm going to go to bed for a while and lay down. Well, I was in, and I fell right to sleep. And all at once I heard this voice, get up. I told you to go to the gym. And I thought, well, maybe I better start listening. So this is where it gets interesting. I go into the gym and nothing's happening. I go over and get on a machine and the guy's say that I count cars and don't do much other. But anyways, this girl came through.
There's a window at the gym. He gets on the machine, they say he counts cars, puts in time.
Anyway, this girl came in about 34, 35. But to me, everybody's young. And she came in and she was livid. I mean, she was hollering and jumping around and talking loud and everybody's looking at her in the gym. And she's just belligerent, terribly belligerent. And where does she come? She comes over and sits by the machine next to me. And now I know why I'm there. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to pray with her. I listened to her. That's and she right. says, I want to commit suicide. Nobody loves me and I came here. And I said, well, honey, what do you do? She says, I'm a college professor at York College. And she speaks, she preaches or teaches philosophy. And she didn't weigh a lot. And she's going on and on and on. And, I mean, it's really loud. And I said, honey, do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, no. And I laid my hands on her. And as soon as I touched her, it was like God hit her with a tranquilizer. I mean, she instantly shut up and started to listen. And then I told her that years ago God had had a calling on her life. And she's been teaching a philosophy that is not of the Lord, and all went through it. I mean, now she's crying and crying and crying. Well, that was end of discussion. I prayed with her, told her about how Jesus loved her and that whole thing. I didn't think anything more about it. And so when she left early, and the girl behind the desk, she said, what did you do to that woman, to that girl? I said, why? She said, well, she was nuts when she came in here. And she said she went out and she was calm and she was quiet. I said, honey, that's Jesus. That's all it is. I just prayed with her. So I told this in Fritztown Tuesday night, and there was it's like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. Well, Todd had met with her, a few days later or something like
that? Something like that, yeah.
Something
just
like that.
A few
that.
Days later.
And
well, you should.
Started to read her mail and said, did you meet a man by the name of George? Now, the attention is there. And it was just, it was... I think it was more for me, and I know that God had a plan there for her and what Todd had related to her, and she this thing of committing suicide.
But to hear and obey. It was more for you to hear and obey, so you don't delay on that stuff.
Yeah, and I think that was the key to me, that now I planted a seed, Todd watered it, and I heard the results of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that so many times that we... pass this off, and I can't be more emphatic of that. I've walked by people, and God's told me to turn around and go back and pray for that individual,
right.
Because I didn't think, well, what's these people going to say, or whatever. My wife was with me, my son was with me one day, and we went into Walmart, went into some place, and I didn't want to embarrass them, and God said, no, I want you to pray for this individual. So I had to stop. Well, they took off. I mean, they don't want to know me.
Your family. Well, see, when God, just what we're talking about, when God's speaking to George, go to the gym, etc. No. See, we're not saved for us. We're saved for God and the kingdom of God and others. It's a love thing. It's becoming love. So all of a sudden you say, yes, Lord, you go, and God has somebody there to impart to love. So if the kingdom's in George, and God has established his kingdom in George, and wants to move his kingdom through George into another person, he says, George, I want you here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So we all got to learn to open our heart that way and be obedient, because we're not Christians for us. And see, I think we think we are.
Yeah.
I think it's still all about us, actually.
Dan, there's one other thing there. Now, if I hadn't heard him, and if I hadn't gone, my thoughts are, and I went back to this, would she have committed suicide? Would that have fallen
upon me?
Oh,
that's a real thought, a very real thought.
And here's the thing, when I would have gotten into the kingdom, God said, I told you about this woman, now she's spending eternity in hell. You could have been there as I told you to go. And I'm telling you, that's as real as can be. And I thought about that. If I would have just decided, no, I don't want to go, I'm not going to go, what would have happened to that girl?
Well, you know, it's a reality. There's people that do things like that. And, you know, I've always wondered how many people has God inspired to reach out, to touch, to love in those situations, and we just didn't hear or just didn't listen. Mm-hmm. You know, who was it? Catherine Coleman, I think, said, why me, Lord? She said, because the first 4 or 5 guys I asked said no. So he asked Catherine. And she said, okay, Lord. But what he was implying was, I asked a bunch of other folks before I even asked you. They said no. So will you do it? She said, yes. I just think there's a truth there. Yeah. I think there's mantles that want to come on people and callings, and we aren't ready, or we say, I don't have the time, or I don't want to. You know, if you ask around the board if we have a choice between heaven and hell, of course everybody wants to go to heaven. But that's not the issue. It's getting back to the Father. See, we make Jesus, we say Jesus, the way to heaven. And we amplify heaven, and everybody wants to go there. Well, yeah, it's eternal life and everlasting life, and I'm glad for it. I don't have a problem with it. But when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he didn't say, and nobody gets to heaven except by me. He said, no one comes to the Father except by me. What he's saying is, I'm the way back to the beginning. I'm the way back to your roots, back to your original value and inheritance. I'm the way back to the Father. We've made it pray a prayer and go to heaven and stay in personal with God. Go to church, serve in a church, let our identity rest around our works and our doings. We get hit with adversity and reveal we don't really even understand the foundation which was laid. A lot of people become the very thing they're going through. It just grabs their identity. You get told you have cancer, you're going to die. You become a dying man praying to God. Come on. When you're in covenant with God and you're a spirit-filled Christian with the covenant and promise of truth and a God that's faithful, and you're called to turn without fear and say to the mountain, and the mountain moves.
Yes.
We become the result of the mountain and pray to God. And God said, no, from the position of who you are in me, pray to the mountain and command it to go.
Wow. Speak to the dirt.
It's really powerful. How much do we cry out to God in times of need? And he said, say to the mountain. From the position of authority through Jesus Christ. It's not arrogance. It's not presumptuous. It's the Word of God. He said, if you have faith, you'll say to the mountain. Watch this. If we're concerned, don't have a strong foundation, don't totally understand and begin to identify with the problem, we'll say to God. God, you got to help me. God, don't you see what I'm going through? I've heard all these prayers. God, come on, I've been hurting like this for a while. Where have you been? Don't you love me? Come on, you've got to take this pain, God. You see what I'm saying? And none of those are even scriptural prayers. You're actually questioning God every time you pray, taking your circumstance personal at the cost of who He is. And you've got Him subpoenaed right here. After a while, you've got Him subpoenaed and you're in the court of your mind finding almost fault negligence with God. Now, come on, that's total deception, because while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son. He didn't send His Son to play charades with you and play head games. He sent His Son because He loves you. The measuring stick of God's love is not your circumstances or what it seems. The measuring stick of God's love is Christ crucified. Period. Christ crucified is the I love you of God. Not the circumstantial evidence. That's where your mind gets involved. The way that seems right to man goes, let me see here. Oh, let me think about this. Please don't. You get it? You're in trouble. Because the logical, human, reasoning, rational way you explain things and see things is through the fall of man. Human intellect, honestly, came through the fall of man. It's not some gift from God. You're a gift from God. Your mind's a gift from God. If it's renewed, it's a blessing. If it's not, it's a detriment. People say, well, God made me this way. No, no, no. We became this way. And it's time to get born again. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look, guys, if I pray a prayer and start going to church and think the same way I thought before I prayed the prayer and went to church, I'm still the same person. I'm still going to have the same results. Power, life, and death is in my tongue. If something really changes in here, something's going to start changing here.
Yes, amen.
If I start seeing different, I'll speak different and live different.
Amen.
But people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And if we're not teaching this, and we keep just getting people to pray a prayer to go to heaven, and they don't change in their perspective and their perception and their language, we'll just keep eating the fruit of our lips, and we'll keep bringing on destruction and be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It doesn't say man's destroyed because of the sovereign administrative choice of God. It says man's destroyed because of his lack of knowledge. So let's get the knowledge and stop destruction. Come on. It's so easy to put it on God. One of the biggest tools of the enemy is getting the church to put it all on God. Well, God, why didn't you? Well, why'd you allow? Well, God, where have you?
Yeah, exactly.
And we're called to put on the armor of God. We're called to wield the sword. We're called to speak to the mountain. We're the body of
Christ.
We're the embodiment of the anointing which the power flows through.
Amen.
We're waiting on God and God's waiting on us. He moved through Jesus and He's saying, your move, church.
Amen.
Would you move? Go ye therefore and preach, saying, the kingdom's here. Heal the sick. We go to a church service, feel more Christian, and go home and live in the same mindset if we're not careful. And reap the same fruit as before we were saved. I'm not saying you can't be saved and live that. It's because you can know your need for Jesus. You can see your need for a Savior. And you can understand you've sinned and committed sin and have a heart of godly sorrow to be forgiven. But you can have a whole lot of lack of understanding in all these other things. See, the Bible says, the man that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He who doesn't love doesn't know God. That's pretty plain. That's not my sermon. Don't throw the rock at me. You can, but that's God's sermon. What He's saying is, because God is love. He's not saying you're not born of God in the second phrase. He said, if a man loves, he's born of God and knows God. If he doesn't love, he doesn't know God. You can see your need for God. You can see your need for a Savior. And you can actually see that you need a need for sins forgiven and never understand, because of the way the gospel is preached to you or you haven't searched it out, that you're born again to become love and take on the heart of God. Put off the old, put on the new. It's why we're water baptized. And never understand that. See, water baptism's missing in the church nowadays. It's rarely talked about. We don't understand. If anything, we just think it's something we ought to do now, and it makes us an official member of the church.
Wow.
The reason it's not there is because there's a self-centered, self-serving gospel that doesn't require the old put off and the new put on. There's no change of identity. You can pray a prayer and have no change of identity. Man, I got a change of identity. You get it? Come on, this is real. We've got to be renewed right here. I'll get to you in a second, Dot. I saw your hand, hon. Let's just read this quick. The just live by faith. Watch this. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That means God can't move through you and fulfill His will through you and reveal His nature through. If you draw back, look at this. There's nowhere to go. But the same old that you've only ever known. See, when I said intellect didn't come from God, I got to back up here because I could perceive a couple of folks don't get that. When God created man, He created man in His image. And He gave God His Word. And all man knew was God, God's presence, and God's Word. That's all man knew. True? Until another voice spoke in the garden. And it was a serpent. And he implied to know God, but he said something a little twisted from God. And he told man that if you'll do this, you'll become like God. You'll know the knowledge of good and evil. God didn't make man to know the knowledge of good and evil. He just made him innocent to know God.
Amen.
And to be like a child. And all he knew was his daddy. When Eve yielded to that voice, and then Adam yielded to Eve, man fell from that place of innocence, and now they knew the knowledge of good and evil. And they were subservient to this other voice, even though they had heard the voice of God and knew God and had God's Word. Now they've got this. So that's why we've got to come out from among them and be separate. We've got to be converted, transformed, born again. The fall did a devastating thing to this. You don't even realize this maybe, but from the time you were born, from the immediate time you were born into the nature of sin and you were trained by the mindset and wisdom of the world your whole life. Your whole life, you and I. Exposed, fear is so normal, jealousy, pride is normal, hurt, rejection, it's normal, it's the way it is. No, it's not normal.
Amen.
It's the way it is apart from love. It's the way it is through the fall of man. It's the way it is through sin. And now every man's in survival mode. And from the time you can remember, it's been all about you. Fitting in, being loved, being appreciated, not being hurt, being comforted, not being rejected. It's been all about you and me. From the time you can remember, as young and as old as some of us are, it's always been about you. Making it. Will they like me? Don't they like me? Oh my God, I hope you're doing whatever it takes to get appreciated, approved. Believing, if they didn't like you, it's the end of the world. Bummer. No reason to live. Life's a mistake. One extreme to the next, because the whole focus is on me.
The gospel sets you so free. Because he says deny yourself, because you were never created for you. You weren't created to live that way. It's destroying everyone. It's the total opposite of love. Mm-hmm. It's self-centeredness, selfishness. Love, selfishness. 180. No selfishness in love, no love in selfishness. Even when we say I love you, it's usually for me. I love you for me. We don't add that. We just say I love you, but it's for me. Oh, God. Of course we don't add that. Oh, no. Us men are great at that when we're not serving God. Oh, I love you. And the women, they so need to hear it because they're created to be loved by their man in God. And it's the smooth over phrase. Causes a lot of damage. It's the most misused phrase on the planet, in my opinion. Because you wouldn't have to say it so much if you'd live it. Oops. It's pretty heavy. You guys all right? You need to go? Okay, I thought you were running out on me. We were going to tackle you. I was on you, man. I thought you might be able to take me, but I'm going to try. I'm going to tackle you. There was a big old boy in Mississippi. I love him, too. He's a big old farmer fella. He wouldn't let me buy him lunch. I said, can I bless you and buy you and your family lunch? He said, absolutely not. You're kidding me. I said, what do you mean? What? No, we're getting you lunch. I said, why? Because I'm the preacher, because I traveled here. You got to get me as ever. I said, come on. I want to get you lunch. He said, absolutely not. I looked at Dave. I said, Dave, you hit him high. I'll hit him low. I think we can take it. Just for 350 pounds. He ain't playing. I looked at Dave. I said, you hit him high. I'll hit him low. I think we can take it. I says, I'm buying him lunch. Come on, Dave. Dave's looking at me. He said, see if he can change his mind. We were laughing. And Andrew said, well, I'll let you buy me lunch. So we bought him lunch. I was glad we didn't have to get hurt. Because me and Dave were not taking him. I'm telling you. Unless the spirit of Samson anointing would have come on us. The Samson anointing come on us, it might have been all right. God, I was in trouble if we'd have tried to get Andrew. Just having fun. Listen, if anyone draws back, think with me. Where is there to go? Peter said, where else do I go? Only you have the words of eternal life, everlasting life. You have come and spoke words of life. There's life on the inside of me because of you. Where would I go? I was dead, but now I'm alive. If any man draws back, there's no pleasure. Why? Because you draw back. Watch this, you'll see this. But we are not those who draw back to what? Perdition. What's that word mean? It means destruction. Did you know that? We're not those who draw back to... When you draw back, it's automatic destruction because there's nowhere to go. Backward is not the kingdom. That's backslide. Draw back. Back into the old. Back. Where do you go? You don't go back into the new. When you back up, you're retracing ground you've already been. Come on, there's nowhere to go backwards. Watch this. To those, but we are not those who draw back to destruction, but of those who believe. Believe is a big deal. Yes. You'd be amazed how many folks really don't believe. I'm serious. They still struggle with God loving them because their life seems to be so... Whoa. And they're always questioning God's love. They question their value because of people and feelings and impressions rather than the gospel and God sending his son. Do you know everybody in here, I said it earlier, is worth the blood of Jesus Christ? That makes your value so incredible to God. But if you don't settle that in your heart, you're going to flip-flop even in your value. And does God love me? And who you are, an identity crisis, insecurity, self-consciousness. Do you know how prevalent that is in most people's lives, those things? Come on. And you've got to believe to the what? to the saving of the soul. You know what the soul is? Your mind, will, and emotions. Man, you've got to get alone in a bedroom and so believe this gospel that you proclaim it, share it back to God. God shares it back to you. Grace touches your heart and it becomes yours. It becomes real. Now you're not even trying to talk yourself into joy. Joy is in you, on you. You can't even help it, right? You're not even trying to talk yourself into peace. Peace is yours.
Amen.
You have peace with God.
Amen.
You what?
Amen.
You have it.
Amen.
So many people are trying to have it. You have it.
Already given.
When do you just declare it? When do you get alone when nobody's looking and say, Father, I have peace with you.
Amen.
You love me so much you wanted to get sin from between us so you could get to me and love on me and fill me with who you are. So here I am, God, tear it up. Just fill me with your glory. People don't pray like that. They say, God, I ain't feeling so good today. I hope today's better than yesterday, man. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Work's going to be tight today. I don't even like my job today. And God, traffic's going to be there. God, please. And they call that prayer. Help me, God. Life's tough.
We have a lady in the apartment. We got like 80 people that are, nobody's under 60. And we have this lady that's in her late 70s. And she was whining and crying just like you were doing there.
I was whining and crying?
Yeah. That's a better word than...
You mean my example prayer?
Yes. So she was in the laundry room and we were talking, and the origin of her whining was the fact that her grandson went off to marry a girl in another denomination that doesn't teach this born-again stuff. Okay? And she was afraid that he was going to backslide and then he would be out of the kingdom. So I shared with her Paul's prayers. I gave her a copy of Paul's prayers. And I said, look, when this boy was 5 years old, he proved he was already born again by what he said and how he talked to you. He is in that circumstance because God has a reason why he's there. Now, if you think he's not strong enough, you read Paul's prayers about him, for him, and God will do the work. But otherwise, he's where he's supposed to be. Now, this last Sunday night when we came back in...
What's his circumstance, the boy now?
The boy is living in Western Pennsylvania, and the church that he goes to does not preach the born-again situation.
Oh, okay. But
now,
he knows he's born again.
And
she's just concerned about...
She's concerned about
him. I see what you're saying now. I was trying to follow.
This last Sunday night, her daughter was there with a great-grandson, and she was talking to her daughter, saying, you know, after I got to reading Paul's prayers, I am absolutely convinced he's at the right place. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. We have to believe that he's at the right place. And I'm going, boy, don't you sound different. And she doesn't have that whine, cry, hurt anymore.
The worry mentality.
She's totally convinced.
A lot of people, honestly, let's get honest with ourselves. If I take a survey around the room, you were honest, you'd be embraced, how many hands would raise? A lot of times we pray because of what we're worried about, what we're looking with our eyes at, and how we're thinking in our mind, and our prayer comes from what we're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's problem-driven. A lot of our prayer life is problem-driven. Not promise-driven. It's crisis-driven, not Christ-centered. We pray because we got problems. So you're consciously focused on problems and you and how it affects you, and you turn to God from that self-conscious view and pray for help when God wants you to deny yourself and get a different perspective and view. Not that He doesn't want to change this stuff, but He doesn't want this stuff changing you.
Yes.
The gospel wants to change you. So I look and I pray from the perspective of Christ into my life this way. Do you get it? It's a whole nother realm. That's what's going to keep me from drawing back. There's no other option. Here's a good thought for you. The wilderness. The children of Israel. They're in the wilderness. What a place to know God. Jesus went into the wilderness. The children of Israel could have had Jesus' wilderness experience. Come on. Jesus fulfilled what they failed. We think we're in a wilderness. I hear people in the church saying, brother, pray for me. I'm in a wilderness, brother. I said, you must be in there with the children of Israel, not Jesus, because he came out filled with the Spirit and power, crushed the devil, ministered to by angels, came out knowing God more.
Amen.
We think because we're in the wilderness, we're sunburnt and tired and weary and, oh God. The only way you don't get through a wilderness without knowing God more is when you go through a wilderness conscious of you. All of a sudden, you're tired of the sun. You're tired of the surroundings. You're tired of having to believe God and trust God. And man, it was better back where we came from. My life was smoother before I was a Christian than after I prayed that prayer. You hear people talk like that? Why? It's because you're still so alive that the wilderness has power over you to break you down instead of the wilderness empowering you to see God. See, your adversity should be a springboard to knowing God more.
Yes.
It's designed by God to take you to God. Adversity is a springboard to knowing God more unless you have a wrong perspective. And if Satan ever sniffs out that, it's like a punch-drunk fighter who ever watched a boxing match and he gets the guy a little hurt. And then he's swinging and you didn't think he had energy to swing like that, but he gets him a little hurt and now he's swinging because he's trying to knock him down. Satan will touch you and find vulnerability and now he's coming hard because he just found your soft belly. And he's going to wipe you out there, see? He just keep. If it has to be Egypt the whole way through the wilderness, boy, it'd be better for us if, you know, it'd be better for us if. Boy, you know, it was better back in the days when we had, at least we had leeks and onions in Egypt.
And there was plenty of water.
And there was plenty of water. It would be better for us, better for us. Who was their mind on? They didn't even realize, they didn't get it. They're the children of God to manifest His glory. God wanted to reveal Himself to them, through them. And they're walking through the wilderness going, boy, he could have picked a better spot than this. Man, I thought he was God. What does he have us out here for? Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. Man.
You know, Dan, that brought to mind, I've heard people say so many times, well, back in the 50s or back in the 40s or back at some time of that life, they were the good old days. If I was back and had some of that life now, I wouldn't have this problem. My philosophy is, you don't go backwards. Their thinking is stinking. And they, because God, you're missing the miracle He's got for you for today.
Today.
So when people, I've told this to Earl. I said, honey, I don't want to go back there. I said, I'm interested in today because he likes to go back, remember things, and yada, 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 yada. I said, but I don't want to go back there. I said, that's fine to remember. That's memories.
And it's okay to go back, but to build on it, to grow.
And just like, because he takes care of you every day. Just like now, you hear all this garbage I hear it every day because the TV's on. On the TV, so when he's asleep, I have to cut it off. I can't stand it anymore. But God is in control of all this mess in the world, what the world looks like. And
right.
He's not sitting up there wringing his hands.
No, he sure is.
Well, here's what he's doing. He's waiting for us to get in agreement with him and with truth and start living from his perspective.
Right.
You see the mentality that's on the world. It wants to encroach into the church and get the church to live from the same perspective of the world. So that's why the world's not really impressed with the church, because she has the same fear they do. Same worry, same self-centered concern, same issues. Right? Come on.
Yeah.
And man, we're not supposed to. You all right for about 10 more minutes or something?
Go for it.
Then we'll pray?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Good.
Definitely.
Man, I was hoping you'd say yeah.
Are you sure it's 10 minutes?
I'm going to be gentle with you, George. Colossians chapter 2. Who's ever heard the phrase, so heavenly minded, no earthly good?
Oh,
boy, that's straight from the pit.
Yeah, amen.
You get so heavenly minded, you're so much earthly good.
Yeah, amen.
See, because I was heavenly minded, I could help the lady in the airport on the earth. Ooh, talk to me now. Come on. See, I wasn't like just so spiritual that I was unrelatable and walk right by her and can't touch her knee for a day. I was so heavenly minded, I was a whole lot of earthly good. Come on.
Good word.
It is a real good word. Listen to the language. You want to hear? See, in Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus came and over said, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. You say, but I say. And he had phrases, and he was teaching, and I'm not going through that right now, but you get the point. What he was saying is, when man fell, his language changed. But I'm the same forever. I'm the one who was, is, and always will be. Same yesterday, today, and forever. No turning, shifting, or shadow. Truth remains. Heaven and earth pass away. My word remains forever. You say, but I say. What he's trying to say is, your language shifted. I'm the same. Through the fall, you see it this way. I'm this way. And he's trying to get us back to truth, because truth makes us free. He never said, go make a bunch of confessing Christians. He said, go into the nations and make disciples. In John 8, he defines a disciple. It's he who continues in my word. Some of us don't continue in the word. We're still struggling believing the word. Or we're still struggling with our flesh that says we can't get in the word, don't have time for the word. We're still doing a lot of other things. When I can't afford not to renew my mind. I can't afford to not get in the truth. Listen to what he said. If you continue in my word, you're my disciple indeed. Watch. You will know the truth. See, we're waiting for a magic point in time where God just lands on us. He's come.
Amen. Emmanuel.
Come on. You will know the truth. If a man ever just sees he's loved by God, oh, he's loved. And it's over. He ain't going back to anything else. He's loved. If he just ever sees his sins are forgiven and removed, he won't live guilty, condemned, and conscious of sin. He will walk in righteousness. If he would just see it. Man, I tell people, see, settle. It's all right. Take it easy. Later. Later. I tell people, I haven't been condemned for 10 seconds in 13 and a half years. Because on June 9th of 95, I was forgiven. Have I missed the mark at all? Have I repented for anything? Yep. And it was such an honor to confess it as He washed me and cleansed me of all unrighteousness so I could remain right in His sight. Because He loves me. So when am I never not right with God? Only if I'm deceived, get self-centered, get concerned, turn inward, get guilt-conscious, shame-conscious, sin-conscious, believe lies. Who woke up this morning and said, I wonder how I can use and misconstrue this gospel to sin and get away with it and still look holy? Come on. If I'm walking through life and I stumble into weakness, I say, Father, I thank You that's not who You created me to be, and that's not who You are in me. And I just declare that as weakness, and I confess that as sin, and I thank You that You've just made me wiser, sharper, and smarter, and I thank You for grace in my life and the righteous judgment of God. I stand clean in Your sight because of the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for loving me so much. 5, 10, 20 years ago, whatever time frame you're in, you say, I wouldn't even blink an eye at that, and now I see and understand because truth has come and light has illuminated my heart. I love You so much, Daddy. That's your relationship right in the face of failure in the flesh. And you only become wiser through it. Most people go, oh, I can't believe I did that. Man, I thought I was growing. I thought I was beyond that. I guess I still got issues. I wonder if I'm even saved. Come on, people go crazy with that stuff. Well, I should have known better. And they just keep coming up with a reason to be bleh. People come to me crying, man, I messed up. I said, really? Yeah. I say, what'd you do? Right? And I say, what? Okay. Well, man, I am so glad to see that your heart's been made pure. What? Did you hear what I just said I did? Yeah, I did. And I'm really excited to see your heart's been made pure. What are you talking about? I just did this and you're telling me my heart's pure. Yeah, and it has you broken. 5 years ago, you'd have cared less when you did that. Now you stumbled into it and it's breaking your heart. Your heart's changed. You're a brand new person. Man, God has rocked you from the inside. You ought to rejoice and thank God it's not who you are. And go on with God. What do you say? Have a good day today. See you. Get out of here. That's how I counsel. I won't get a notepad and lay on the couch, I promise. Let's start in the beginning. How do you feel? Well, let's talk about that. I don't care how you feel. I'm going to tell you how it is. Let's look to the Word. It's time to buck up and believe God. I'm serious. I'm telling you, you call me for counsel, I'm going to give you Jesus. It's the only thing that helped me. It's the only thing that will help you. I ain't going to play with that. Watch this. Watch the language on the earth. You say, but I say. You say, but I say. We all grew up with this one. Don't get your hopes up. Well, be awesome, man, but don't get your hopes up. Come on, you've heard it your whole life. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope's the very thing that enters you through the veil. It's the anchor of your soul, and it takes you through the veil into His presence. Hope. So the Bible says, get your hope sky high.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. We grew up our whole life hearing,
well, don't get your hope up. Oh, it'd be great if that would happen, but it doesn't always work that way, and others were disappointed. I hate to see you disappointed, brother, so don't get your hope up. Look, we prayed for Fred and Barney and Harry, and they all died, so there's no reason to think you could live, Steve. But, you know, we'll pray, but don't get your hopes up. I'd hate you to be disappointed once you find yourself dead. What are we even saying?
I'm not doing good with this. I'm messing up. Who's ever heard this one?
Well, you know, brother, what you see is what you get.
Bible says, don't you ever live by what you see. Don't you ever believe what you see. What you see is fading away. What is unseen is eternal. Don't you ever live by sight. You live by faith. What you believe is what you get. And all our life we heard what you see is what you get. Watch this one. This one's huge. Oh, you're going to like this one. Because it exposes the lie we were born into. You say, but I say. You say, but I say. What you don't know won't hurt you. You ever hear that one? Your whole life. Well, look, man, what you don't know won't hurt you. No, don't tell them. What they don't know won't hurt them. What you don't know is destroying you.
Amen.
The Bible says the total opposite. We're destroyed for the lack of
knowledge.
And what you don't know won't hurt you. Better left alone, brother. You hear how twisted the language is? The one that I have fun with. It's just funny. Two heads are better than one. Who's the head? Who are we? We're the body. He's the head. Why are we thinking so much? Just say yes.
Amen.
Here's the head right here. Come on. Who are we? Two heads are better than one? Wrong. He's the head. Come on. Just do what it says. Go ye therefore into all the world. Right? I think I will. Not,
well, let me see. If I feel led, if I'm equipped, if I'm qualified, maybe in a couple years, brother.
He's the head. We're the body.
Another one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Oh, there you go. Words will absolutely what? The power of life and death is where?
None.
Who's ever heard it preached again and again that God is in total control?
And everything that happens is orchestrated by God.
You ever hear that?
And for a reason.
Yeah, and for a reason. No, a lot of it's the devil, and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And what you don't know is destroying. And he takes advantage of anything he can get, and he'll take an inch and take a mile. Come on. And we create a doctrine. Well, God has a plan. He allowed it. He this and that. Wonder if it's just a lack of knowledge. Wonder if it's just people speaking death. Wonder if God's willing life and we're speaking death. Are you getting anything out of that? Come on. Our whole life we've been hearing God's in total. And whatever happens is the... And who can really know... Whoever grew up with this one, who can really know the will of God? That it's a mystery. You grow up with that one, anybody here? Because the Bible says to renew your mind so you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Bible says don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you call me Lord and don't do the will of the Father. If He's not revealing the will, how can He hold me accountable to doing the will? Mm-hmm. He says, here's my mother, my brother, and my sister, these who do the will of my Father. If he's holding us to do his will, he has to let us know what his will is. And it's very simple. It's the life of Jesus manifested. Amen. It's the will of God. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And as he sent me, I send you. Amen. Follow me. Amen. That's why we pray for the sick. You had a question or a comment,
yeah.
Ann?
Yeah, the other one. You made your bed, now lie in it.
Oh, my gosh. See all these ones that are coming out? You've made your bed. Sleep in it. That's the law of sowing and reaping, but we forget that he sowed his life and we reap his benefits. Man, we sinned our whole life and yet we're judged righteous. We deserve to die and yet we live. Do you get it? That's a good one. Made your bed and you sleep in it. You said that?
Yeah.
Good
God. Yeah, last year when my oldest son's wife called me.
Okay.
And said, your son, your 46-year-old son, is dead. And I started witnessing to her and saying, well, he's in heaven now. He's safe. But in my mouth, I was forming, where was God when my son died? And it came back to me. He was on the throne just like he was when his son died. And that's sort of helped me. He was on the throne. He was in control of it. But it still hurts today.
Absolutely, there's a physical loss there. Mm-hmm. But to subpoena God and put it on God, watch this. Watch this. If everyone, this is not condemning, this is just sobering, okay? There's no heavy in this, it's just sobering. If every one of us in this room were yielding to love and walking in love and surrendered to self and consumed by God, and walking in the place of faith that works through love, when the whole lot of things change automatically.
Yeah.
Come on. If every Christian, honestly, this is God's design. If every Christian that truly was a Christian, that was actually walking in love and living without fear and speaking life and agreeing in the unity of faith, wouldn't there be a whole lot of mountains crushed? So wouldn't you say a lot of things are taking advantage of where we haven't grown and what we haven't understood? Wouldn't it be safe to say that Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy wherever he can and then point to God and blame it on God and slither away like a snake in the grass? I was going to read Colossians 3 10 minutes ago. I didn't get there. Changed my mind. Going to read one scripture and we're going to pray. You can read Colossians 3 on your own time. It's a really good chapter. If you want to back up and read 1 and 2, it'll be good. Colossians 3 rocks, man. I'm telling you. Wow. It says, if you've been raised with Christ, get your mind off the earth. Get your mind up there where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth, because you die and your life is hidden in Christ. What it's saying is start thinking like heaven thinks, not a mere man. Years ago, I was hearing all these people that are talking about Christians talking, watching talk shows and stuff. I was pastoring at YCF, and I was like, what? So I turned a couple of them on. And these talk shows, it was appalling to me. It was all centered on rightness. He said, she said, wrong, and pinning them to a wall, asking the audience, arguing, bickering, hurt, pain, unforgiveness. Terrible. They got the most bizarre circumstances. Judged it on screen and got the audience to give their assessment. Totally void of righteousness, totally void of truth, totally void of mercy, totally void of love. Just horrible. People hurt and vile and angry and mad and exchanging. And all these talk shows were turning into this stuff and getting people and getting the audience, well, what do you think? Well, how do you feel? Well, what's your opinion? It's messed up. Hebrews 12, and I'm done. I'm trying to be gracious with y'all. If I get done before 9, somebody ought to clap because that's rare anyway. I jumped right into it tonight, though. We didn't talk much. We didn't do nothing. I just jumped in and started talking. I was pumped. I couldn't hold back. Been going ever since, y'all, right? Y'all came back, too. I appreciate it. And we said, we're just going to the bathroom. They were serious. They weren't sneaking to the car. Well, I know. You see, the Revelation says you lie, you fry. It doesn't pay to lie. It wouldn't pay to lie. You only hurt yourself. You lie, you fry, right? No. It says all liars, etc., sexually immoral. Actually, it says cowardly. That's amazing. Murderers, that's people with hate in their heart.
Gossipers.
It's real strong.
Yeah.
Well, we won't go there tonight. We'll have serious altar call. Everybody will be up for woo. Your altar's right there where you're sitting before God. It's all about your heart. You're the steward of your heart. Just remember that. If you live in denial, you're just hurting yourself. You violate your conscience and you're hearing truth and you're pushing it away and ignoring it, you're just hurting yourself. Smiling on the outside and crying on the inside, you're just hurting yourself.
Amen.
It's time to get along with God, get real, get right, come out like it is, and just get right with God. Serious. You're the steward of your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Guard your heart, for out of your heart flows the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
The world likes to get inside your heart and let it be like the screening system that you live through, so you see everything through the hurt, pain, unforgiveness, mm-hmm. the words that should have never been spoken. All of a sudden the gospel is subverted and you're a product of man and you've been potted by life instead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's a big deal. You're on the heart.
My wife is punching it.
She ought to be, because I was reaching over there. I just couldn't get you. She hit you for me. No.
I love you, man.
Bob's keeping me on time. I'm trying to get done by 9. My clock says 4 minutes still. That's my clock. We're going by my clock, because I've been looking at my clock. Not yours, Bob. Uh-oh. Hebrews 12. This is good. I'm only reading 4 verses. That shouldn't take long. Therefore, since we are surrounded, verse 1, let's get there. Since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every sin so easily ensnares us. That cloud of witnesses, I heard it preached many times, that there's a whole bunch of people up there cheering us on, and they're in an arena yelling, you know, go, church, go. And, you know, that's okay. It sounds like inspiring stuff. But what it means is, Chapter 11 is Patriarchs of Faith, and it just bears witness of men that had loved not their own life unto death, even under an old covenant, have not even received the promise of the New Testament covenant. Jesus hadn't come in their day, but they stayed faithful to the promise. They stayed faithful to God, and they walked as whom the world wasn't worthy.
Yeah.
That's the testimony we want.
Yes, amen.
And what it's saying is, since you have their example to follow, let's be encouraged and follow it, not be ensnared by sin, which is self-centered, self-serving. Do you get it?
Yeah.
See, the sin is all rooted in selfishness and self-centeredness. The Bible says these exceeding, 2 Peter 1, the exceeding great and precious promises, by them we partake of His divine nature, that's love, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. Lust is insatiable, self-centered desire. Yeah, unsatisfying, insatiable. Help me, yeah. See, it's desire, self-serving desire that can't be satisfied. That's lust. We partake of His divine nature, love, and we are set free from the corruption of the world, which is driven by itself, not God. Isn't that cool? We become love. Yay. So watch this. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay every weight aside and sin that so easily ensnares us. It makes it sound like it's easy if you don't stay in this place to get focused on yourself. All of a sudden, you're just one word away from somebody from having a bad day. Just a wrong turn in front of you in traffic, and all of a sudden, it's like you're not born again. And somebody that you know did something wrong, and you're focused on the wrong, that you lose sight of righteousness. He said, she said, tit for tat mentality. Eye for eye. It's a trap. Well, they should have known better. All of a sudden, you justify why you feel how you feel, even though how you feel is less than God's heart. I'm only talking plain now. Hang in there with me. It might get tight.
We'll get it.
Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the stuff that exposes our motive. This is what makes us tick. Okay? I'm telling you, so many people with issues, man don't have issues, have Jesus. Don't come up with a reason to justify how you feel when how you feel is less than the heart of God.
Amen.
If God sat and decided who was right and who was wrong, we'd be wrong and we'd be in trouble. He paid a price why we were wrong to make us right, and we ought to see each other with that love.
Amen.
He showed us mercy, we ought to show mercy. If the people that hurt us and did injustice towards us were filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the light, they wouldn't have done and said what they done and said. So we ought to grieve that men are failing and lacking and empty of the truth of who He is in them. That should grieve us, not what they've done against us. We should cry for men, not ourselves. Because they're lost, they don't know God, they don't see God, they're not functioning in their created value. And because they touch us wrong, now we let what they do against us work something in us that's not God. I say it this way, don't ever let sin against you produce sin in you. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Because it sees the peril of sin and the level of deception, and mercy flows and the heart cry of love flows for change. Because if I love, I don't love me for me, I love for love. Right? So if something's coming against me and I see in love and I'm walking in love and I become love, it can never hurt me. Love does no harm to a neighbor. It owes nothing but to love. It doesn't say, I love you, do you love me?
No.
We do that in insecurity all the time in our relationships. I love you, honey. You love me? We say, I love you to get love. So what we're saying is, would you please just love me? Man, if you do anything, just do that.
Look, I just feel like I need you to love me. Would you just hold me now?
Not, I love you. Do you love me? Come on. Man, I used to do a lot of weddings, and I would just always say that. I'd say, there's something love never says. Good. Before I share what love never says, I'll just... Or there's only one thing love ever says, but before I share what love... The only thing love ever says, I'll share what it never says. And I say, love never says, I love you. Do you love me? And I say, love very simply says, I love you. That's all it ever says. That's what makes it love. That's what puts Christians in condemnation, that I love you, do you love me thing, because they feel like they're not measuring up. They're trying to work their way to God. And that's a whole nother... I'm really in trouble if I go there. I'm not doing so well, Bob. Put your watch away. Stop. Don't even look at it. It's not the will of God for you to look at your watch. The Bible says, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's no time, watches, nothing in heaven. So don't even look at it here on the earth. Get your mind in heaven. Thanks. Watch. I got a vision of God's hand coming down in the sky one time, and it had no wristwatch.
Amen.
None. And I know that was from God. Watch. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin so easily it snares us. Look. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. Here's my question. Does the average Christian even know there's a race set before them? And if so, what is it? Wow, so we are saved with a purpose. There is a reason we're born again and filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So it isn't just pray a prayer and attend a church somewhere and read your Bible every day. It's become something to fulfill something. Watch.
Oh, I can do this in short time.
Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. How are we going to run the race with endurance? We're going to look to Jesus. Because He is the living epistle of love. He is the ta-da of God. You see God when you see Jesus. The heart of God revealed. He's God in the flesh. True?
Yes.
He's love manifested.
Yes.
People backbiting. Animosity. Even after chapters of the New Testament, years of ministry, only ever doing good and healing all, still bickering behind the scenes. Is he from the devil? Is he from God? He's out of his mind. No, he's not. Men didn't have a clue. Still throwing him, tossing him to and fro, trying to kill him, push him off a cliff, scheming. And he just kept doing what he does. Good. And loving. And good. And loving. Oh my gosh, he's amazing. And then he hangs on the cross for all of us. Who just still didn't believe him at that point. The world proved they didn't believe him because they put him on the cross. As if he was worthy of death. Because he didn't fit into their world. No, he was trying to call them into his.
Amen. I love you, Dan.
Man. I'm doing my best, but I'm preaching the gospel now, so time is irrelevant to me right now, buddy. I promise you. Listen. Jesus is hanging there, and he is the absolute total expression of love like you and I have never seen. And the only way you fulfill this call is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He died for people that didn't deserve his death. Mm-hmm. Except that their created value said they were worthy. But their performance said no way. Mm-hmm. God doesn't see you for what you've done. He sees you for who you are. Right. God knows who Amen. You are. Mm-hmm. We see each other for what we've done and said. We need to see each other for who we are. Mm-hmm. See, I see who you are. I know who you are. Oh, and I'm pumped. She's worthy of the blood of Jesus. She's worth every drop. God saw her before she was seen and said, pearl of great price.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Boy, if I could just send the sun and shed his blood, I will polish up this pearl and she will shine.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like that. That was good. You get it? This is the gospel. If you ain't talking like that in your bedroom, you're not even having intimacy with God. I'm talking like that all the time, and I'm a guy. I have no trouble being a bride.
Yeah.
I look so good in my dress.
Amen. Amen.
I said it the other week. I think in Fritztown, I said, when I walk down the aisle to meet him, I think I'm going to take my time and just tease him. Father will be standing there. Son will be going, come on. Eat your heart out. It's your fault. You made me look this good. I'm your work. Enjoy it. Well, I am messing up, Lord. Come on, that is powerful. That is powerful. And then I'm going to get down there. Dan, do you? I do. You get it? Because I know he already does. Because of what he's done. Oh my gosh. I go down the aisle again here. That was fun. You better think like that. I'm telling you. I stand in my bedroom. You absolutely love me. There ain't nobody in the world. I ain't doing it to impress you. I'm doing it because I'm impressed.
Amen.
I stand in the bedroom when nobody's looking. Time will tell. You'll see I'm telling the truth. You absolutely love me. My life is worthy of your blood. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for consuming me with all that you are, transforming my heart into your heart so that these eyes look through your eyes, that I see life and see what you see. Mm-hmm. Have your way and fulfill your destiny through me. You're an amazing God. Mm-hmm. That's the way I pray. Oh, it does me good. Can I be real straight and honest about something? I've never prayed for myself in 13 and a half years. Most Christians go bonkers when you tell them that. I've never asked God for a good day. God, I pray that my car runs good and I don't hit a lot of traffic today. That is such a normal prayer pattern for most people. I'm just giving you a little, for what it's worth, I've never prayed that way in 13 and a half years. I don't look like I'm under the stress of the world. My perspective is so not me. I'm not even thinking me, I'm thinking him. Mm. And he is lavishing me in love. Mm-hmm. He's lavishing me in grace. Mm-hmm. He makes a way. I am ever pray for me. Not to my knowledge, not one time except for more of him. Mm. I've never asked my day to go better. I don't even pray for more finances or nothing. I know that blows most people just out of the water when you talk like that. I seek him for more of him, because if I seek him and first him and the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are added to me. I don't want to be self-focused. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes. Bob, please don't look at your watch. I'm almost done. He's the author and the finisher of what? Our faith, and faith works through love. So he's the very evidence and revelation of love. He's bringing us to the place of the consummation of our faith. Look at this. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. There was a joy set before him. He paid a price for something he saw, and that was man redeemed and made many sons, and the kingdom and the glory of the Lord covering the earth. And the sick we pray for tonight, he honestly saw that one day men would be able to believe and pray and release faith in his name and his finished work, and men could be healed because of the sacrifice. I think about that stuff. That's deep. Amen. This is not shallow. This is amazing. Oh, I think about it a lot. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now watch this. This is what I wanted to read, but I couldn't read this without the first two. It's just so powerful. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against who? Against himself. If he was selfish or self-conscious, he'd have been in big trouble because the sin was against himself. But he wasn't here for himself. He was here for you, so you couldn't hurt him. He was hurt for you. You couldn't hurt him. You couldn't offend him. You couldn't change his mind. Because love never fails. It doesn't seek its own. It takes no account of a suffered wrong. Come on, this is a big deal. Satan laughs when we go to church and do our Christian thing and raise both hands and sing all the right songs, turn and leave, and are vulnerable to men. I believe he laughs when we intercede in our prayer circles and pray against the kingdom of darkness, leave the room, and function in the very attributes of darkness.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. God, I got to move on because I am in trouble. Wow. Oh, no. That's amazing. This is that serious stuff.
Yes.
It's time to be free from ourselves. Pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Come out from among them. Separate ourselves from that. It's about love. Consider him, right? For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Watch! Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know what God's saying right here? It is not normal or the will of God to be weary or discouraged.
Nice.
That if you're weary and discouraged, your eyes are on you, not him. Yeah. That's right in your Bible.
Wow. That's strong stuff.
It's not. Watch this. Watch the next verse. I mean, it is. It's straight up, but it's not. There's grace all over it. Watch the next verse. For you have not yet resisted to your shedding of blood in your fight against sin. Do we realize that we're born again to shine the light into the face of darkness and confound the powers of darkness by the wisdom of God?
Yes.
Yay. Yes. If I'm weary and discouraged, my eyes are on who?
Get them off.
I need to look to who?
Yes.
When we don't see the answers to prayers immediately, guess what happens? Turn inward. Watch. Hebrews 2. All things are put in subjection under his feet, meaning man. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that you would visit him? He's quoting Psalms 8. And then he says, there is nothing that you haven't put in subjection under his feet. All things in subjection under his feet. It says, in saying all things, there is nothing that is not in subjection under his feet, meaning man. However, we don't yet see all things in subjection under his feet, but we see Jesus. You know what it's saying? There's things we're growing into that we're not seeing bowing, but we're growing into a revelation. Don't back up. Don't back off. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't try to make sense of this. Just know you need more of Him. Because if more of Him keeps manifesting in you, this stuff will bow. Yes. This stuff will change. Yes. Don't draw back. Don't look here. Don't look there. Keep looking to Jesus and moving forward. Pray. Release faith and destroy the kingdom of hell and darkness. You get it?
Amen.
Okay. You got something? And I'm done. I'm totally done. So I'm done.
Thank you.
We all know that it takes faith to do this. But your words, the words of God that you've been teaching about faith works by love. Faith works through love. I nodded my head. I said amen. But that thing just kept going around and around and around in me. And I finally figured out that I didn't know what it really meant. And so I just looked to the Lord and a light is what he showed me. The light works through electricity. The light works by electricity. Faith works by love. that light can't, that light that we call light, that mechanism cannot give light until it receives electricity. And we can't have,
can
we, faith, right. It's, it, we're
faith.
Always trying to get faith or do faith or,
right.
or you know, it, it's
totally not God.
It's until we turn and get alone and receive love, you know. Now the mechanism has to be right. There can't be a short in there. But when,
right.
but okay, so
it says actually faith is energized by love, energeo. It's a really powerful word.
So when that mechanism is in its correct function, it's set up right, in connected to the source.
Right.
Then the light happens, and but there's one thing that it does: it burns, and that love burning in us creates the light
Amen.
And the love that does the work of God that expels darkness.
That short thing, there's no short on his end ever.
Right.
The only
no.
shorts are our misconceptions,
yes.
driven by our feelings, emotions. Now that he has come, now that he has proclaimed, now that he has come out like he is through the gospel, we have to whip these emotions, mindsets, and anything contrary to truth. Anything that doesn't build up, edify, or increase your life is not from God. Because
right.
the shorts come from when we fail to continue to receive his love, think we're not worthy, maybe we messed up. Had a guy call me today, is it possible that I've missed God and he's abandoned me?
A short is a reason to unbelief.
Right.
To not believe.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for anybody that needs prayer because Jesus is amazing.
Amen.
Okay? All things are put in subjection under whose feet?
Jesus.
Under man's feet in him. By his name, by his authority, the finished work of the cross. What's that?
In his power.
In his power. It's Hebrews 2. And it says, we haven't seen everything in subjection to our feet, but we see Jesus. So what keeps us moving forward and not weary and discouraging our soul, our eyes aren't on ourselves, our eyes are on him. And he is the Lord. Does this make sense? So, Father, we just thank you right now for your tremendous grace in this place. We thank you for the gospel. Father, these are your people. They're your choice. They're your hands, your feet. They're the expression of your love. They really are your love. Man, just close your eyes for a minute. I want to pray something over everybody. Please, you just give me the honor. You don't want to, just sit there and just tolerate it. Father, we just thank you right now. I just ask you to impart your heart into every one of us. I ask you, Lord God, to mold and form love in every one of us. I ask you, Lord God, to put a hunger in us, a hunger to pursue you, compel us by your Spirit and by your love, Father. I ask you, Lord God, to let the gospel burn brighter than ever before in our hearts and in our understanding. Let us be a no-nonsense people. Father, don't let life have such a loud voice. Don't let the world have such a loud shout. But let your gospel shout louder than it all, God. We just ask that we'd have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, hearts and minds to understand, and feet that obey the word of the living God. I ask for a blessing in this place on every single person, Lord, that there be a healthy identity, a secure identity in each and every one. And let your love be profuse and profound in every single one of us. Let us not be robbed of what's been revealed. Your love is amazing. I bless the people and I thank you, Father, for our grace to pursue you like never before and an ability to be in your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
We want to pray for the sick. We want to pray for this young lady and her lungs over here. Carpal tunnel thing too. I want to get on that prayer. You didn't come for that probably. You came for her support system. But you might as well get loved on too. Amen. You don't have total use of your hand. So if we pray for you and you start to be able to use it, good, that'd be a cool thing.
Amen.
Wouldn't it?
So be it.
Sure.
Hey, Dan, do we have prayer for my sister who just found out she had breast cancer?
We absolutely will pray for her. Seen actually several breast cancers disappear in the last few, whatever. I need to know who needs prayer right now. The best way to cooperate with me, if you can, and you can just stand up to let us know, why don't you jump up so we know who you are. You need prayer right now. Okay?